Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
I am your host, Tanya Communication Doctor, and the reason I do this show is because I want to provide a space for people to speak their authentic truth, coming from a heart space rather than a head space. Allow people to get into their space of consciousness, their space of confidence, and their space of connection. This, I think, promotes positive mental health, and this is why I do what I do. Hello, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Gilbert Abraham, and Gilbert is a LinkedIn trainer and an entrepreneur. Welcome, Gilbert.
Thank you for having me, Tanya. I am so grateful and thankful. I'm excited.
Oh, it's just lovely. It's lovely to talk to you. And I'm really excited to hear a little bit more about what you do. And I actually just tell the audience, I discovered you on YouTube. And it's so interesting how you discover people, because I was having a nightmare with LinkedIn myself. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to work out how I'd do a LinkedIn live. I haven't done one yet, to be honest. And I'm the sort of person that has come to love YouTube for learning. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned how to knit.
YouTube University.
Exactly. It's the university of YouTube, and I learned how to knit via YouTube. So everything when I'm editing, I've learned a lot of stuff through YouTube. So I'm very much reliant on it. So when I discovered you, I thought this is really great. It'd be great to link with you. So tell my audience a little bit about what you do with regards to being a LinkedIn trainer and what that kind of involves.
So as the LinkedIn trainer, I'm not associated to LinkedIn in any way. I have my own company, and I specialize on training entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, businesses, sales team, and marketing team, how they can use LinkedIn as a tool to drive more opportunities, either to grow their team by finding and targeting the right candidates, either by reaching out to potential clients or growing their brand on the platform.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it's interesting because it is very powerful. It's a very powerful platform. And I would like to ask you, in terms of all the social media platforms, so we have Facebook, and obviously we know that you're on YouTube. Why LinkedIn?
There is an emotional connection to LinkedIn. So about 10 years ago, I got laid off from work. And I had to find a way out of no way. So bills were past due, wasn't getting any job offer, going through several different interviews. So I learned that skill set of using LinkedIn in my prior role. Mm. So I decided, why not start a marketing consulting, since I have the marketing background and I can help business owners. And I decided to use LinkedIn as my tool. Because when I learned from my last role, I learned, hey, there's a lot of business owners on LinkedIn. So it made sense. And just started using it, reaching out to people, building relationship. Got my first client on LinkedIn that helps me pay the bills and be able to, you know, have a roof over my head. And then was able to get a second and a third, enroll into an MBA program to enhance my business skills. So I'm going to business school. And I'm running a marketing consulting business at the same time.
Wow.
And so it was extremely intense 2 years. However, I got through it. And at the end, I was sharing my story on how, hey, I'm able to pay for some of the school stuff because of this marketing business. And this is how I was getting clients. And it opens up my eyes when people seem interested. So I said, you know, instead of being another marketing consultant, why don't I focus on this skill set that a lot of people are not aware of? And that's how LinkedIn training started. And so I started the company AGM. So 7 years ago, 2013, that's how we got started.
That's absolutely amazing. You know what? The other thing that I want to ask you, because as you were talking about that, I was just thinking about during the pandemic, I've noticed a lot of people have been reaching out just for various different reasons on LinkedIn.
Now, I must have, I'm going to say the best message that I received was someone that just said, hey, Tania, just want to connect. Just want to connect. Love what you just want to connect. That's easy mm-hmm. for me. But when someone bombards me with a sell in the very first connection, like you just connected with them, then they throw something at you, it kind of mm-hmm. puts me off. So what would you kind of advise? Because sometimes it's like with this whole sales thing, it can be too much.
Yeah.
And it can,
yeah,
it can put you off straight away. And actually sometimes it's like, okay, we do the same thing. Let's just connect rather than actually. It's, what I really hate is when people say, Tania, I can help you. And I feel, wow, you don't even know me, you know? You know,
yeah.
Maybe I can help you. Do you know what I mean? It's like an assumption that you need
help. Yeah, that you need the help, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, I don't know nothing about my big, because I own my own business. And I'm thinking, wow. Yeah. So what would you advice would you give to people like that are reaching out for those kind of first points?
One thing is, yes, there's definitely an increase because of, you know, a lot of other avenues that were available before no longer available. So LinkedIn become very exciting to a lot of people. However, because of the pandemic, there are a lot of people that are going through certain financial restraint and they just want to get out there. You know, they just want to get things moving a certain way. So what I would suggest to them, and I suggest that to some of my clients as well, is think about the person behind that screen. And instead of just trying to push your product or service to them, you know, start by asking them a question that, you know, just, hey, would you be open to connect? You know, by starting that way, it facilitates the conversation because you'll find that more people by asking permission are open to a conversation. And then just let them know, hey, I'm, you know, once they're connect and they're like, yeah, sure. So, hey, listen, you know, I review your profile. I see that we both went to, I don't know, MIT or whatnot. And I would love to learn more about what you do. Is that something that you're open to? You know, so stop there and then take that conversation offline. And from that conversation, you find out if you can help or not. And, you know, if even if you're not, see how you can add value. You know, maybe you can make a connection or an introduction. And that's what's going to lead to more opportunities in the future. So it's all mindset. So they got to change the mindset. Yeah, things are tough. You got to make a living. We all get it. We all trying to make a living. But how can you add value first? And by just having a simple conversation and asking the right question.
Yeah, you know that, and you know what? It's just common sense, really, isn't it? Now, when you kind of break it down, when you take the it's like because you've got to build trust. When you've got a brand in marketing, you've got to build up that trust. It takes time to build up that trust, and like you say, it's just small steps. Get to know each other, take your time, and then connect in that sort of a way. And even the whole little thing of the chit chat that kind of works. And I love what you just said in terms of taking it offline straight away, because that's how you really find out if someone's really interested
absolutely.
In the connection. And I love the fact that you said that you have a look at the profile. I don't think people read people's profiles because I'm thinking it's clear you haven't read my profile by what you've just said.
Yeah. And honestly, sometimes they don't, you know, it's, you know, the mindset of, and it all depends on what you do too, but the mindset of, okay, if I reached out to a bunch of people, hopefully something will stick, but there's no strategy behind it. You know, if you gotta really go a little bit deeper, maybe pick a specific industry, pick a commonality, pick something that could show that there's something to talk about and that can really help.
No, totally. I'm totally with you. And I want to dial back a little bit. So like growing up as a young person, were you always a connector? How would you describe yourself as a young person how were you with people? Was it something natural that you've always been?
Yeah,
or were you
really shy? I was super shy.
Oh, were you?
Super shy. I was really, really shy especially when I was in Haiti because, I love my country, but there were a lot of different things that were going on around that time that weren't very safe. So, you know, we weren't allowed to do certain things. Like I couldn't go play outside with my friends. There was no such things. it's, you know, I play in the backyard and, oh, you know, I imagine friends and play with them. So it, yeah, so I was shy. And then when I came to the States, it was different. I wasn't in Haiti anymore. I had to learn how to speak English. So I had to get out my shell.
Mm. I just say, just go back a little bit for me, just because there'll be people that will be listening to this that won't know. So when you said what was going on in Haiti at the time when you were young? And then the second question is, when you moved over from Haiti to the States, how old were you? Yeah. So those two. So yeah.
In the early 90s, you know, young, I was about 10, less than 10 years old, 10, 11. I was living in Haiti. And that was around the coup d'etat era. So that's when they're overthrowing the Haitian government and the army took over, and it was a lot of crime and chaos. So it was a very challenging time for my people. And, you know, around that time, it was, you wouldn't find anyone just outside playing with their friends, because you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know when somebody's going to start shooting, you know, what's going to happen. So we were, me and my siblings, we were always inside. You know, it's either we go to school, come home, stayed inside, study, boom, that's it. You know, and we play. I had my own imaginary friends that I play with. So, you know, it was a time where I learned a lot about myself as a child. I learned that I was a thinker. I like to think. I like to use my creativity. You know, which has benefited me a whole lot now in my adult life, and also experiencing that within my culture and then come here, it makes me more grateful of opportunities that I have access to now.
That's so important as well. So then when you came to England, why, but just tell us, where were your parents at? How did they make that transition from, not England, sorry, that transition from Haiti
to the
United States? Yeah, and whereabouts in the US as well?
So it was interesting. When I came, the first time I came was, I think 1999? Yeah, 1999. And I came with my two sisters, my mom, my dad, and we were just visiting, right? So that's the first time I came to the States. We went to Canada, then we went to New York, then we went to Florida. So we visited the States and then we fly back home. The second time I came, you know, now I had my papers and so forth, not visitors anymore. I stayed, and at this time I was staying, my brother was already in this country. So I was staying, you know, with family, friends, and then with family. So where my mom was still in Haiti with my two younger siblings, and my dad was still in Haiti since he had business in Haiti. So we didn't come all in one as a family. And, you know, I had a chance and been fortunate to live with family members that treat me like family, which was great. I learned a lot in that process, learned to become more independent, learned to speak English, because that was the biggest thing for me, is not able to communicate, right? Not able to really share how I feel or my thoughts with others, because there was that language barrier. So, I was fortunate to learn English pretty quickly, watching cartoons and movies all day, and you know, just practicing and putting myself in circles where I was uncomfortable.
That is so interesting, because I remember when I was teaching full time, there was a young girl who was Polish, and she couldn't speak a word of English, but within, I think it was about 3 or 4 months. First, she learnt the swear words first.
Learned
the curse, all the curse words and swear words first, and then gradually, I thought it's just so amazing how quickly young people, because you're kind of in a forced situation to learn a language, aren't you? So you have to pick it up most.
You have to pick it up.
that pressure, which I find fascinating how quickly you can do that or be able to.
You'll be shocked when you like, you know, I came here when I was, what, 14, and I was able to grasp the language in about 3 months, and then I wasn't fluent. And then I became more fluent about, I think, 2-3 years later from practicing. And, you know, the biggest thing I've done that helped me become fluent is not hanging out with other Haitian, because they were all speaking Haitian Creole or French. I started just having new friends that didn't speak Haitian Creole or French that pushed me to speak English, because for us to communicate with each other, I had to speak English and they had to understand me and I had to understand them.
Wow. And would you say, like, just looking back, would you say that's one of your biggest challenges, having to do that? Or was it been something that's been bigger than that for you?
It was one of many. You know, in my career as a owner and entrepreneur running my current company, I had tons of different challenges. You know, it's a roller coaster. So there's some ups and there's some downs. You know, I remember at a time where we had a team of 10 and things were going great. And then the roller coaster started going down, and we had a lot of system breakdown. You know, we went through a very challenging time where unfortunately I had to let some of the team members go. So it's been a journey, but it's an exciting journey because you could, you know, you could see what you've worked so hard for. You could, when you achieving those goals, it just felt really good.
Wow. And how do you kind of move on from that sometimes? Like when you, like you say, when you have to let people go, it's probably a bit about now, like, because a lot of businesses are really suffering at the moment. And you know, there's a lot, hospitality.
Theater,
goes on, travel.
I mean, that was a challenging time. I mean, when the pandemic started, we lost several clients that were in the hospitality space because, you know, they couldn't keep the door open. They were laying off their team member and we were training the team. So if they lay off the team, there's no one who has to train. So, you know, so we lost a few that way. When it comes to our own team member, when that time where I had to let these guys go, it was really tough. It was very tough because I'm like, wow, these people have families that they have to take care. You know, it sometimes when you're on the other side, for example, I look at when I got laid off and I'm like, oh, you know, I got laid off. The world is horrible. But when you're on the employer side and you're like, wow, you're worrying about the family because those people depend on you and revenue that the business is making, take care of themselves and their family. It's a tough decision. And sometimes you have to make that decision. And that's one thing I learned is there was a time where I delayed making that decision and it truly impacted my business in a negative way. So it's once you identify that, you know, you gotta let that person go, you gotta let that person go. Sometimes that helps that person even more because that free them from that job and they can go to do something better. And especially if they weren't the right fit for the role.
That's quite amazing. It's quite interesting. And it is hard to be able to do that, isn't it? Like you say, because you're looking at everything. You're looking at the full, you know, everything in terms of the family and everything there. So with regards to your successes, what would you say, like looking back, or you know, just maybe in this last year, because it'd be quite nice to know in the last year, what was your biggest success? And I asked that question on purpose because I think it's so nice if you can see or find something that worked really well.
It's been a blessing. What I really look at is not even my success, is more success of our clients. I can share with you one of our clients in the manufacturing space. We have several of them in the manufacturing space, but one that came to mind particularly was, you know, their pipeline of leads literally was gone because of the pandemic. They were using trade shows and conferences to build relationship with their potential clients, but there weren't no more trade show and conferences to go to. So what do you do? right? You had to find another way. So when they were introduced to us by another one of our clients, they were extremely coachable. They went through the program. They took action, like I mentioned to them, that they should. And because of the actions that they were able to take, they were able to generate more opportunities than they would at any trade shows that they would have attended.
Wow.
Which was phenomenal. And they had some amazing, amazing new potential clients in their pipeline, which was great, you know, like Amazon and so forth. So being able to be in that space and seeing their success was exciting, and seeing how they took what they learned and apply it and actually put themselves in a position to grow more than any other companies, that, you know, that was fulfilling to me.
That's amazing. And as I'm kind of asking you, what advice would you give to businesses now in terms of being able to grow? Because that's, for me, sounds like an amazing story, especially because we've heard such negative and low stories this year.
Yeah.
In terms of people losing business and so forth and so forth. So what kind of advice would you give? Because it looks like I see you as looking for the opportunity, like you talked about Amazon, because there are some businesses, we mustn't forget, during this pandemic, there were some businesses that, I'm sure for me, supermarkets are thriving, you know?
Yeah.
Supermarkets. Amazon
delivery
is just
services. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the, it's just kind of sometimes looking for what's working rather than what's not. So what advice would you give?
The best advice that I would give is don't be afraid to basically to go digital, to don't be afraid to try something new and go digital. Because here's the challenge. There are a lot of legacy business. They've been doing things for generations, one specific ways. And when the pandemic hit, no one was able to predict something like that, you know, and they didn't move fast enough to change the trajectory, right? And they're like, oh, we're going to wait it out for a couple weeks. Then a couple weeks turn to a couple months. Then they start running out of money. And, you know, the downfalls happen. While if they had willing to be open-minded and said, you know, let me try this, let me go digital, let me focus and invest a little bit on this to at least learn it. Let me go on YouTube and learn this, right? Or get some ideas about it. Then that could actually help the business. So although I know sometimes a lot of us get comfortable in doing things one way, but you got to be open to make changes and make them fast.
Love it. And it's just about pivoting, isn't it, really? And I love the fact that you said, don't be afraid to go online, because it's so interesting how many people are stuck in their ways of doing things. And it just keeps you in, it keeps you stuck, doesn't it? When you're stuck in a place of, it just keeps you in, you are stuck, literally.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
Yeah. and I think some of it could be fit. It's not even about age, because, you know, I don't like to bring that into it, because I think some people are very forward thinking no matter how old they are. It's just about attitude, isn't it? It's about attitude.
Yeah.
And being able to pivot and switch.
100%.
And adapt.
I mean, I connected with a guy on LinkedIn. He is 81 years old, but he's a master on LinkedIn, right? And he's super excited about his business, saying, hey, the pandemic happened. We had to shut down 3 stores. But because of the relationship that I was able to build on Linkedin this year, I was able to open back 3 stores.
Brilliant.
You know?
Wow.
So, but he's 81. You think because he's 81, he's going to be like, oh, I'm too old to learn this technology. Nah, he embraced it.
Yeah.
And took the steps that needed to be taken.
Such a good example there. And is there any inspirational words that you want to leave my audience with before I kind of wrap this up?
Gratitude.
Lovely.
Be grateful. I mean, I am grateful every day that I get a chance to do what I enjoy doing, working with business owners, helping them. And I'm just grateful, you know, because now a lot of us is with everything that's going on in the world right now. Now a lot of us can say that. So if you get a chance to see another day and you know, go back at it, it is a process. Just be grateful.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Gilbert, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And that's just a lovely way to end it, just to be grateful. Because I always say gratitude first. So you can ask for what you want, but it's almost like karma. You got to appreciate what you have first, don't you, before you ask for something more. So I love that. I love that. Thank you very much. Okay, so just from Tanya the Communication Doctor and Gilbert Abraham, adios.
Bye-bye.
Take care. One of my takeaways from this show is gratitude is key. And it was interesting to speak to Gilbert, as he is a LinkedIn trainer, about building that rapport with the people that he works with and trying to understand what they want and understand how they communicate from an inner space rather than from an outer space. And also that working hard will really help you achieve what you want to achieve in life, as long as you appreciate what you've got in front of you as a starting point. I think that was a really valid point. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.